You are listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We believe that Jesus came to set you free and nothing can cancel the truth of God's word. Now here's your host, the youth pastor of Impact Youth at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, Pastor Joey Santora.
What is going on, Uncanceled? How are you guys doing? Thank you so much for tuning in. We are back. And that definitely wasn't our third time doing that.
No, no way.
Not at all. Grayson, what's up?
What up, guys? It's good to be here.
Is it really, though?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's good to be here. We got Grayson. I call him the Rizak because his last name is Rizak, so I call him the Rizak. Sometimes I call him the Rizlak, too, just depending on how I'm feeling one day. Like, if he has Riz, doesn't have Riz. Sorry, I know that's probably super cringe. My bad. But we're happy to have Grayson with us today. Ben, I smell your turkey and rice and hot sauce so strongly right now.
Are you serious?
Yes.
All right, man. Maybe I need to put less hot sauce on.
Smells great.
Oh, good.
I'm not insulting it. Like, it's making me want turkey, rice, and hot sauce.
Oh, good. I'm going to go eat it after we read.
You're lying.
I can smell it.
You can hold the mic.
Yeah, like, it's okay. Like,
you're lying about it, like, smelling good, though. Like, I want to be like, I really want to eat.
Oh, yeah, take that mic right away. I don't think you've had turkey, rice, and hot sauce before.
I'd rather just have seasoned, like, turkey without drowning it in hot sauce so my mouth burns.
The turkey's, first of all, seasoned. And second of all,
dude, the hot sauce is good. He dates an Hispanic girl. Do you really think that, or actually is engaged to an Hispanic girl, you really think she'll let him not season his food?
I mean, if he's putting hot sauce on it, it kind of ruins the seasoning.
The hot sauce does overpower the seasoning for the most part.
Do you put sriracha on it?
No, it's Frank's.
Oh, Frank's is good too.
Frank's is good. Are you not a spicy?
I've only had sriracha, but...
Are you not a spicy guy?
It depends.
Sounds like you're not a spicy guy.
Usually spicy people are like, yeah, I like spicy food. I love spice. But like saying like it depends usually means no.
I feel like it depends though on like if I want my mouth to burn or if I'm just... I prefer I don't.
Oh, that's great, Grayson. I love that.
It's always good to have a guest
on. You never know what's going to be said. I don't even know if you picked up what I just said, but I moved my head from the mic for a second. I had something in my eye. Anyway.
Let's get down to it.
We are back.
Let's try this cookie.
He just goes, let's try this cookie. Does he not know that it's time to? Rate that crumble cookie. Here we go.
Here we go.
I know it's time, but.
Here we go.
Thanks, Ben.
You're welcome, man.
All right. Did you call me ma'am?
Nope. All right.
I will say the Wi-Fi in this building has been absolutely atrocious. Yeah. I feel like I can't even do my job. Like,
I know. It's been bad.
It's been really hard, yeah.
My phone's been worse with the Wi-Fi.
Oh, shoot. A banana bread cookie?
That's good.
I need to see photos.
You don't even have the photos yet, but... What's mom's recipe?
Good stuff, man. Oh my gosh. Cookies and cream cake. I know you didn't get that. Ben doesn't get any of the cakes.
That looks so good. I wish you got
both
that.
Both cakes look good.
Don't even say it. I am not going to go to Crumble on Friday or Saturday.
Why would you even think that he was going to go to Crumble?
I don't know.
They're
thinking it. I can tell right now. They're accusing me. I will not be getting the cake and the strawberry shortcake or mini cookies or anything like that. I'm not doing that. It's not going to happen.
I'm definitely not either. Now after seeing that.
Absolutely not. No, it looks disgusting. All right. I'm just going to get right down to this.
Banana bread looks really good.
I just think you got banana bread cookie because it's different than anything that we've ever had before. I really do. I don't think you got confetti cake cookie, although I do like confetti cake, but I don't think you did because it's just like kind of like birthday cake. Yeah. I don't think you got the milk chocolate cookie. I don't macadamia nut. I'll say I know me and Ben have talked about a good macadamia nut, but it's just a macadamia nut cookie. Lemon poppy seed is my number two runner up. Let's see what mom's recipe is, Grayson. Peanut butter. Did you read the descriptions before you got it?
I did.
You did? Ooh.
That looks good.
That sounds really good. I'm going to read the banana bread cookie description as well. a fluffy banana cookie with flavors of... It's gotta be this!
It's fun because I just get to sit here and watch.
It's gotta be this.
It has to.
I mean, you two don't have to agree.
I mean, yeah, you can disagree.
I agree with that.
If he got anything else, you're just mean.
Grayson feels the same. Grayson you're going through my feelings right now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you get it. I could see why Ben would get this because he likes peanut butter a lot, but I feel like that's the most different cookie out of anything that we've had. Let me look at the lemon poppy real quick just for kicks and giggles. This has lemon filling in it. Mixed with poppy seeds, loaded with lemon filling and smothered. That sounds great. I'm going to be happy with either lemon poppy seed or banana bread cookie. Either one is going to make me super happy.
What are you going to lock in?
The banana bread's different than anything that we've ever had before. Banana bread cookie.
Let's go.
Hey!
It's banana bread. Lemon poppy seed was not number two.
Was the other one that I said number two?
Honestly, I feel like number two could have been a tie, like a three-way tie. I think that the cake, confetti one looked good. I think that mom's recipe looked good, and I would have loved to get macadamia.
The Knicks are looking for Chris Boucher.
Chris Boucher?
Boucher? I guess. I don't know. I actually don't. I know he's on the Raptors, but I don't know who he is.
He's, sorry if you're watching. He's like, whatever.
No, sorry, Chris. All right, let's go for a stab. Ooh.
Banana bread. Yeah, no, this one definitely seems the most interesting. Grayson, man.
I went with him. I love banana bread. I love banana bread so much. Don't you love banana bread? I love it.
I have a complaint.
Yeah, I do too. Go ahead.
It's probably going to be the same complaint. I'm not really tasting any banana. Are you tasting banana?
I am.
Oh. My complaint was just that it pretty much tastes like every other cinnamon cookie that Crumble cooks up.
Really? Grayson, what do you think?
I taste the banana. I taste the cinnamon. I think it's a good, medium.
I might just not be finding it.
I'm tasting the banana. My complaint is that I don't think there's enough frosting on this cookie.
Oh, agreed.
Yeah. I think that there needs to be, like, I want more frosting. I don't want you to just, like, throw a touch of frosting on there for me. I want there to be more frosting, especially if you're going to advertise that you have a cream cheese frosting. Now, I will say, I'll give them a little slack if it says glaze and not frosting, because that is different, right?
Yeah, I would say that's different. I like the brown sugar on top as well.
That's fun. A nice touch. Nice touch. Cream cheese glaze, it says.
Well,
technically
really
that's different than a frosting, yeah. But I will be critical of it and say, I think they should have chose a frosting.
I agree. Yeah. I feel like if you put a banana cookie together, you can't glaze it. You just got to douse it with frosting.
I agree. I need frosting. Are you going to the Brookfield Immaculate game tonight?
Yeah. Yeah.
Probably. Are you really?
Probably.
Is it at Brookfield?
Yeah. It's senior night.
Is it?
If it was John and Goose's senior night, I would go, but I don't know if I'm going to go. I think they're going to get clapped by Immaculate, too. Abby L's nice, if you know who that is. Anyway, if you're watching AB, you're nice. That has nothing to do with Crumble Cookie. I don't know why I asked that. I just thought of it. I have some complaints. I'm enjoying the cookie. Let's get down to this. Would we eat the entire thing?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's Crumble.
Grayson's probably... two biting every cookie that Crumble puts out.
That's probably true. But me and Ben actually had a cookie last week that we gave a one. I gave it a one.
What cookie was it?
What was it?
I don't remember.
What did it taste
like? It was bad.
What did it taste like?
It just wasn't good. I don't remember what it was.
Caramel, something.
Oh, yeah. Caramel popcorn.
Yeah.
Oh, no. It was not good. Did you have it?
No, it's just, that's like a disgusting combo.
Yeah, it was not a good, people have caramel popcorn.
Well, yeah, what do you think about that?
About caramel popcorn?
Yeah.
I think it can be good if it's done right, but like it's got to be like there's disgusting caramel. I don't know how to explain. It tastes burnt.
I get
when
that.
It's gross.
I get that.
Yeah. So that's just my take. So like, Ben, let's kind of do what we did last week, but without rating it.
Right.
What do we think about this? Like, honestly, like where is it? Like really on the scale? Like, are you running back to Crumble to go get this cookie if they hear that it's out?
No, by no means. I think I can, I think we should work our way up. I'm definitely eating a mini one.
Oh, for sure.
I by the way, I don't think it's bad. I just couldn't really locate the banana flavor, but I thought that it was good.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely eating a mini one. I think if we, you know, we're hungry and not concerned about calories, I would eat the whole thing.
Yeah.
And so it's over a 5.
Yeah, Grayson's not concerned with the calories, so.
Yeah, no. I'm surprised you said that, but.
I'm bulking right now. But normally, even right now, I'm not eating a whole thing.
Yeah, sorry, Grayson. I'm not eating a whole thing. I would eat it if I was, like, eating like a monster one day. Like, you know, but, like. Yes. But, like, I'm not eating the whole thing. I like it. I think it's solid. I feel like I have a rating I feel really good about. I feel really good about it. It's out of 10, only 0.5s, Grayson. You can't, like, give me, like, a point.
I agree. That was already in my mind, what I'm grading it.
All right. Well, that's great. Are we ready?
Yep.
Yes.
3, 2, 1. 7.5. What was yours?
8.5.
6.5.
7.5. Wow. We literally went consecutive.
6.5. That's too low.
It's just not, it's good, but it's not blowing me away.
If it was loaded with frosting, it would be a 9. It might even be an 8. It'd be an 8.5 at least. Not blowing you away. It's a 7.5. I enjoyed the cookie. I had a good time. I've had better cookies from Crumble Cookie before, especially because we try one every week. So, Grayson.
I like the softness in the middle. Like, it's kind of like crunchy on that side, soft in the middle.
That's a really good take.
Yeah.
Good analysis, Grayson.
That's why
Grayson.
I put it in 8.5.
Yeah, that's good. If you're going to Crumble this week, get this cookie. Like, I'll tell you that. Like, I'll put that out there. If you're going to Crumble this week, get this cookie.
I think it should definitely be in the 3-pack.
Okay. Oh, that's good. I like that. Like it's like the Mount Rushmore of cookies, right. Although 3 right. Instead of 4. But yeah,
I think it should definitely be in the 3-pack. Yeah.
Most people get, you know, that when most people go to Crumble, they get like 6
full ones.
Yeah.
Oh.
People at least get a 3-pack, but they get 6 and they'll like split it with their friends.
3 minis to be clear.
Oh, I'm talking. I'm saying, not talking minis right now.
Oh. I know you're not, but I'm saying I would get it in a 3-pack of minis.
Do you, when you go with your friends, Grayson, what do you guys get?
Me, Dark, and John.
Yeah.
Usually just a 6-pack.
You get a 6-pack. Do you guys eat the entire 6-pack? Yep.
We usually get different flavors and then just share them.
Do you guys eat all 6 cookies? Do they all go?
Yes.
I told you. That's what most people do. I mean, listen. You're in high school right now.
1,800 calories later.
Bro, we went to Wendy's after every basketball game and ate like fools.
I get it. Yeah. I used to eat 2 bags of combos in Arizona. That's been well documented.
It has been on this podcast. It has. Well, anyway, thanks for tuning in to Rate That Crumble Cookie. We'll see you next time. That was a really long one. See you next time. What's going on, guys? Thanks so much for sticking around for the teaching portion of the Uncancelled podcast. If you're just tuning in right now and you skip past Rate That Crumble Cookie, I like you slightly less, but I still like you. I'm just kidding. I understand. I would probably skip it as well. Just kidding. I wouldn't because it's epic. I don't know why. I'm just like, I'm in a funny mood right now. I got to get serious. Thanks for tuning in. Happy that you're watching this week. Perhaps you're returning from last week's teaching of understanding spiritual levels. I think that's what I titled it at least, right? Was it understanding spiritual levels? Yeah. Last week we did part 1 and we talked about you know, why God won't take someone to the top overnight, levels not being solely dependent upon age. And we talked about where the Bible teaches spiritual levels. And if you did not watch last week's teaching, I would encourage you to go and watch last week's teaching before you go and you watch this week's teaching, because this week will make more sense if you watched last week. So the part that I want to teach on today in understanding spiritual levels is, how do we increase our spiritual level? How can we increase our spiritual level? And I have 3 points for you. Actually, is it 3 or 2? It might be 2. Praise God. But I have some subpoints in there as well. Number one, humble yourself before God. Humble yourself before God. The more you humble yourself before God, the higher that you will go. Because the Bible tells us that God exalts the humble. The people that God exalts, the people that God brings higher, are people who are humble. When you humble yourself before under the mighty hand of God, He will exalt you. That's what the Bible says. The Bible says God resists the proud, but gives more grace to the humble. Where does promotion come from? Promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion comes from the Lord. Write that down if you're taking notes. Promotion comes from the Lord. Promotion does not come from a human being. Promotion comes from the Lord. A human being may give you a promotion, but God is the one who promotes. God is the one that ultimately moves people up the line. God can only promote someone to a different spiritual level. A human being cannot do that for you. Even if a human being promotes you to a level that God is not taking you to, you won't be successful in that level. God is the one who brings about promotion. So how can you humble yourself before God? Well, go to Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. I'll show you this. To humble yourself before God, seek Him more. The more that you seek Him, the more that you seek Him, the more that you'll become like Him. The more that you'll become like Him. God will take you to higher places the more that you seek Him. The more that you seek Him. Because you'll become more like Him. I don't know why I am not going in the right direction for Ezekiel right now. I am almost there. Ezekiel chapter 47, verse 1. This is an important passage of scripture because it shows you that there is a depth in knowing God. Some of you who are watching right now, you know God at a certain level right now. But if you're going to go to a higher level in God, and again, we covered what that really means and looks like last week. If you're going to go to a higher level in God, you need to seek Him more. Because where you are spiritually will be connected to where you are in your relationship with God. The spiritual level that you are at will be directly tied to how well you know God and to the depth that you know Him. Ezekiel chapter 47. Then He brought me back to the door of the temple, and behold, water was issuing from below the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was flowing down from below the south end of the threshold of the temple, south of the altar. Then He brought me out by the way of the north gate and led me around on the outside to the outer gate that faces the east. And behold, the water was trickling out on the south side. Now, you might be wondering, what does this have to do with spiritual levels? Well, it's going to get there in a second. But what this is Ezekiel sharing a vision that God showed him. And so he's documenting this vision, and it's going to show us something about God. Going on eastward with a measuring line in his hand, the man measured 1,000 cubits and then led me through the water, and it was ankle deep. This is the first level that we can understand about knowing God. Sometimes we start in our faith by going ankle deep. What is ankle deep? Ankle deep is maybe when you first give your life to Christ, you discover God and you realize how mighty He is. And you're like, oh my goodness, this thing is crazy. But what we sometimes don't realize when we get to that ankle deep level is that you can go even deeper. you can know God even more than just ankle deep. You don't have to just know him at your ankles. You can know him even more. And we're going to see that in just a second. So he says he walks out and he goes ankle deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was knee deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and led me through the water, and it was waist deep. Again, he measured 1,000 and it was a river that I could not pass through, for the water had risen. It was deep enough to swim in, a river that could not be passed through. What does this text show us? Well, what Ezekiel is saying here in this text is he's talking about the depth of God, the depth of God. The deeper you go, the more you discover about God. This is why, this is one of the reasons why knowing God more will cause you to rise to a higher spiritual level, because you'll receive more wisdom and knowledge. Because the deeper you go, the more that you will discover about God. The deeper you go, you'll realize, oh my goodness, I don't need to just be ankle deep. I can be knee deep. And then you go a little further and you get to know God more, and all of a sudden you're waist deep and you're like, oh my goodness, there's even more. And then you keep going. And as you keep going, you realize that there is so much depth in God that you cannot even go to an end. There is no end to the depth of God. It's not the river of God. Knowing God is not like a swimming pool, where there's an end to the swimming pool at some point. Knowing God is like a never-ending river that you can just keep swimming and swimming and swimming and swimming and going deeper. Anyone that thinks that they have arrived to knowing God completely is misunderstood. I had a professor say this in Bible school. We can never fully know God, but we can truly know him. That's a powerful statement. We can never fully know and understand God. I can never fully know and understand everything about God. The Bible says his thoughts are higher than my thoughts. His thoughts are higher. I can never fully understand everything that there is to know about God. But I can really know him. I can know a lot about him. I can truly know him. I can truly know him. And this is what Ezekiel's talking about here, is the more you go, the deeper you go, the more you will discover. The deeper you go, the more that you'll discover. The more that you get to know God, the more you get to know God, the higher that God will cause you to rise in the spirit. Your spiritual level will increase the more that you know God, the more that you know God. You'll begin to be seen as someone who knows God by other people too. The more you get to know God, the more people will recognize that you've been with Jesus. They told the apostles, we recognize you as men who had been with Jesus. I genuinely hope that that's something that people can say about me, that they recognize me as someone that spends time with Jesus, that knows Jesus, that knows Jesus. And understand, it takes a certain level of humility to do this. It takes an understanding of realizing that I have not arrived, that I can know God more. I don't have this relationship with God where I just know everything. It takes a level of humility and recognizing that you're a human being. You're not God. And that there is more to know about God. It takes humility to seek after God. God, I need you. I can't do this thing on my own. The deeper you go, the more that you will discover. The more you seek God, the more that you will be like him, and the more that God will increase you. Spiritual levels are directly tied to how well a person knows God. How well a person knows God. I want to be used powerfully of God, you may be thinking right now. Guess what? Get to know God more. Get to know him more. Get in his word. Get in his presence in prayer. Get to know him more. The more you know him, the higher God will cause you to rise. The more that God will use you because you know him more. Number two. So first, it's humble yourself before God. And I talked about seeking him more. Second, submit and learn from spiritual authority. Submit and learn from spiritual authority. In a sense, this is an extension of the first point, because when you humble yourself before the spiritual authority that God has placed, you're actually humbling yourself before God, because you're humbling yourself to say, God, I know that this is a spiritual authority that you have placed. So humbling yourself and submitting to and learning from a spiritual authority is actually humbling yourself before God. But it's important to understand that there are people who are ahead of you in the spirit. And I talked about this last week. Not everybody is on the same level in the spirit. Everybody equally needs to come to repentance in Christ. But once you come to repentance in Christ, it is your job, it is your responsibility, and it is up to you to what level that you will go in God. There are people that are at higher levels in God, and we need to understand that and receive from those people. The Bible says this, go to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I think that's what I said. Yes, it is. You know, I saw a video from a guy on Instagram. And honestly, I really hate what TikTok and Instagram has done to Christian doctrine, because people watch a TikTok video and believe that just instantly. People just say, well, the Bible doesn't say this. And they're like, oh, the Bible doesn't say that. Okay. And they don't even actually bother to read what the scriptures say. Or, here's this TikTok video about this. And they're like, oh, well, I grew up believing this and understanding this. So, you know, I'm going to let this one TikTok video absolutely destroy my Bible doctrine. Now, I'm not saying it's wrong to, you know, listen to a TikTok video and then evaluate your beliefs and look into them. But you shouldn't let one video on Instagram or TikTok completely destroy your entire faith. You should actually look into it and study those things. But I saw an Instagram video, and it was this guy who was like looking for a place in the Bible that it says that pastors have any type of spiritual authority over anyone. Or it was like looking for a place in the Bible where it says that any spiritual leader has authority over anyone. And he was like looking through the Bible confused because he couldn't find anything. And I would say he didn't look hard enough. Because the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17, obey your leaders and submit to them, for they keep watch over your souls as those who will give an account. So the Bible clearly says that we're to obey and submit to spiritual leadership as people who keep watch over their souls. We're to obey spiritual leaders. We're to obey leaders and submit to them, for they're keeping watch over your souls. We should submit to the spiritual leadership that we have in our lives. In the Bible, pastors are constantly referred to as shepherds who watch over people. They're constantly referred to as shepherds who have watch over people. So to say that there's nowhere in the Bible that says that people should submit to spiritual leadership or that pastors don't have authority over people is mistaken. There is an authority that a pastor has over their congregation. Now, I'll tell you this, you don't have to submit to any spiritual authority that you don't want to be under. But if you choose to go to a church, you are choosing to submit to that pastor's leadership. And if you don't want to submit to that pastor and you don't trust him, find a different church. You should go to a church where you feel comfortable to submit to that pastor's spiritual authority. You trust them. You believe there's someone that hears from God. And like I said, if you do not, find a different church. You need to find a pastor that you can submit and learn from. Because when you submit and learn from spiritual authority, you go up in levels. Why? Because they impart wisdom to you. I did a teaching called the laying on of hands. And I talked about the laying on of hands and how it works and what happens when the laying on of hands takes place, which you can check out on our YouTube channel. You'll see the teaching on the laying on of hands. It's from one of our 21 days of prayer and fasting. And I talked about how impartation works, where a spiritual leader will impart something into you. And that's what happens when you submit and learn from spiritual authority, is there is impartation that comes. Understand spiritual authority. People don't get it. Go to Psalm 133, verse 1. Psalm 133, verse 1. It says, behold how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. First off, I want you to hear that. The Bible is very clear that God is a God of unity. If somebody is causing disunity, you need to correct them or throw them out. That's how church leadership should operate. If you are not in church leadership and somebody is causing disunity, you need to tell your brother or sister in the Lord to knock it off, because that's not according to the Spirit of God. There was somebody that came to this church a while ago that was trying to cause disunity in the church, and it had to be corrected and dealt with. Otherwise, there was going to be some serious problems. It was going to lead to divisions in the body. You can't allow division to take root in your ministry if you feel called to the ministry and you're watching. And if you're a part of a ministry and you hear about disunity or you see somebody causing disunity, bring that to leadership's attention ASAP, because it needs to be dealt with. So God's desire is unity. It is like the precious ointment upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that went down to the skirts of his garment. There is a flow in the anointing of God, that it starts with the head and it drips down to the beard and then onto the garments. This is the flow of God. There is a flow. There is a head. There is a beard. There is a garments. The way that this works is and I explained it to my leaders, is like this. You have your head of a ministry. And obviously, the ultimate head is Christ, right? You have a head of a ministry. That's the person that God has called to lead the ministry. God always calls an individual to lead a ministry. I do not believe it is biblical for there to be multiple people leading one ministry. Multiple people. Pastor Frank is the senior pastor of Faith Church. Pastor Frank doesn't have a team of people that are the senior pastors with him. You know, we have Pastor Frank, he's senior pastor number one. And, you know, we have another guy, senior pastor number two. They're both the senior pastors. That's not the way that it works. It's not the way it works. You never see that model in the Bible. You see one person pastoring a church with apostolic authority. You see, apostolic oversight. You see Moses leading Israel. And then Aaron comes next. Aaron comes next in line. You see a flow. There's a flow in God. So that's the head, the person that leads the ministry. Then you have the next layer. You have the leadership that's under them. That the oil drips down to the beard and then it flows to the garments. It flows everywhere else. That's the top down anointing. And if there's a break in that flow, there'll be a break in the anointing. There'll be a break in what God is trying to do. So that's the flow of God and how it works. And that's how spiritual authority works. That's how spiritual authority works. Go to Luke chapter 6, verse 40. I'll show you this too, as it pertains to spiritual authority. I read this last time that I did this teaching, or part one. Luke 6, 40. The student is not above the teacher, but everyone who is fully trained will be like their teacher. One of the reasons why you should submit to spiritual authority and learn from them is you'll become like the person that trains you up. This tells us two important things. First, be careful who you sit under, because you will become like the person you sit under. If you don't like the person that is the spiritual authority in your life, leave honorably. And how do you leave honorably? Pastor, you know, I just feel it's time for me to move on and go to a different church. You know, I want to honor you and thank you for everything that you've done in my life. But I think it's time for me to move on. That's how you honorably leave a ministry. Many people leave ministries. Oh, that pastor, he's a this and he's a that. And I hate this church and blah, blah, blah. And they just badmouth the ministry when they leave. That's not leaving in honor. That's leaving in dishonor. And that's sowing seeds of dishonor that you will reap in your life. So be careful about who you're under. And if you don't like who you're under, leave in an honorable way and go be under something else. But it also encourages us that if you do like the person you're under and you submit to them and learn from them like a student, you'll become like your teacher. I see this many times with our students at Impact, is they many times end up being a lot like me in the way that they minister, in the way that they talk, in the way that they do things. Not that they're just a carbon copy of me, but there's a lot of similarities that they have to me, that they'll become like their teacher. But watch this. This is something that's important. The student is not above the teacher. You will never be above the person who raised you up. Hear me on this. You will surpass the person who raised you up if you do things God's way, but you will never be above the person that raised you up. What does that mean? How can I use an analogy that'll make sense? I guess I'll use me and my dad for example. It is my father's desire that I surpass him in the ministry. He wants me to do more for God than he did. Why? Because I should do more for God than he did. Well, that's very arrogant of you, Joey, to say that. No, it's not. Because as I've sat under Pastor Frank at this church, his ceiling becomes my floor. In other words, where he ends, I get to start and build upon. If I were to build a structure, right, and start building it, and then somebody came in and started building after that, as long as the foundation was laid properly and built properly, then that person can simply just add on to what was already done. That's why a person is able to go further than the person that came before them, because they're able to add on to what was already built by that person that came before them. So you should go further than the person that raised you up. You should go beyond them. But watch this. There will never be a point in time where I am now the spiritual authority in Pastor Frank's life. I never become his spiritual authority. As the Lord would have it, if one day, you know, I'm pastoring this church and, you know, leading this ministry, and, you know, at that point in time, there's 6,000 people in Faith Church, and I take the church to 50,000 people or something like that. And that's what God does, and it's amazing. I never become Pastor Frank's pastor. I still honor him as the spiritual authority that is above me in my life, although I have surpassed him in accomplishment. Does that make sense? Hopefully it does. I can't get your feedback right now. But hopefully that makes sense, because that's important to understand. Because sometimes people get this idea, well, I've done more than them, so now I'm ahead of them. You need to humble yourself. That's the person that raised you. Let me ask you a question. When you get older in life, when maybe, you know, if you're watching this right now, most people watching this are probably like in their like teenage years, 20s, something like that. Maybe you're older than that. But let me ask you a question. Will there ever be a point in your life, despite how successful you are, where your parents become your kids? No, doesn't work like that. They will always be your parents, regardless of how successful you have been in life. They'll always be your parents, and you'll always honor them as such. It's the same way in the spirit. The people that raise you up and teach you will always remain ahead of you, regardless, in the sense that they will be above you. They will be the person that's in authority of you. But you should surpass them in accomplishment. You should surpass them in accomplishment. You never become the parent. Next, understand this. Humble yourself and learn. This is important. Some people don't humble themselves and learn. Some people need to shut their mouth and listen, honestly. I have conversations with people sometimes, and they just don't shut their mouth. Pastor Joey, I just kind of came because I wanted to, like, you know, I wanted to learn some things from you. And 10 minutes in, 20 minutes in, they still haven't stopped talking. It's like, listen, sometimes you need to shut your mouth and just listen. And I don't mean that to be like mean by saying that. I literally mean close your mouth, stop talking, and listen. That's humility. When I'm in a room with people that I know who are ahead of me, or when I'm hanging out with someone that is a mentor in my life, I do my best to talk as minimally as possible, because I would rather them do the talking than me do the talking. Why? Why would I rather them do the talking? Because they have something to say that is going to help me in my life, and I want to listen. I don't want to miss it. I don't want to waste time with me talking. I went out with a minister that I look up to very much. Well, I should just say it because I want to honor him. I went out with Pastor Ted Shuttlesworth, and he's a great man of God, somebody I respect very much. And he has taken time to invest into me in my life. And I went out with him. I did my best to close my mouth as much as I possibly could. If he asked me a question, I answered the question. I didn't ramble on for 50 minutes with a story about something, you know, that happened. I want him to share as much as he possibly can with me. If there's a quiet moment, I want to see if he has something else to say before I even talk. Let's see if he has something to say first, because what he has to say is more valuable than what I have to say. That's humility. Understanding that. What could I possibly do for him? What could I possibly tell him that's going to help him? What do I know? He's been in the ministry for 25 years, I think, something like that. I've been in the ministry for almost 4 years. I want to hear from him. He knows what he's talking about. and not just been in the ministry, successful in the ministry. I want to hear from him. I want to hear from him. Don't be a know-it-all. Be able to take correction from your spiritual authority. The worst type of person is someone that's unable to take correction from their spiritual authority. Can I tell you this? Correction hurts. Correction hurts. Sometimes correction is, ooh, that did not feel good to have to take that. I've been to services before where a minister has been preaching and they say, don't do this. And I go, I do that. It kind of hurts. But guess what? You receive it in humility. You receive it in humility. You know, they're right about that. They're right. They used the Bible. They showed me in the Word where I was wrong. That's key, by the way. Them pointing to you in the Bible where you're wrong. Very key. Because I can't just get up. I can't just get up here and be like, oh, you know, it's a sin for you to do this, or like, this is not right for you to do, and not point it to the Word, because then it starts to turn into spiritual manipulation and control where I just make you do whatever I want. I go, I have something to correct you on. You need to give at least $1,000 to my ministry every single month. You have to do that. That right there is called spiritual manipulation, right? We're talking about staying within the realms of the Bible and the wisdom that they have to impart from you from the things they've experienced in the ministry, not spiritual manipulation. But you have to be able to take correction. Paul corrected people in the Bible. As the apostolic authority, he corrected people. Jesus corrected his disciples. Any good teacher that loves you and cares about you will correct you when you're wrong. Hey, I noticed this, not okay. I had a student post something on Instagram one time. I've had this happen multiple times. Slide them in their story. Hey, this is not a good representation of who you are. Straight up. Why? Because I care about them too much. Care about them too much to not say something. Correction should never come from a place of anger. Correction comes from a place of love. Sometimes there's a rebuke that's strong that needs to be heard. But the only reason why you're even correcting the people is because you want them to get back on the right track. That's biblical correction. That's biblical correction. Humble yourself and learn. When you humble yourself and learn, you'll receive a double portion of what that person has. You'll receive something from them. The Bible says that Elijah gave a double portion, or Elisha asked for a double portion of Elijah's spirit. He sat under him. He learned from him faithfully. When it was time for him to go, he didn't ask him for his Armani suit that he had. He didn't ask him for, you know, a check. He didn't ask him for any material things that he, you know, you have a really nice house, actually, you know, Elijah, you know, I would like to have that. He said, I don't want any of that. He says, I want a double portion of your spirit. He goes, that's what I want. He says, is there anything I could do before you go? Think about that. Imagine if somebody asked that question to you that you respect. Is there anything I can do for you? Something I can do? I'll give you whatever you want right now. And I know some were taught, you know, to be shy and stuff. I'm talking like, if you didn't have to be shy at all, what can I do for you? What can I do for you right now? Would your answer be to give something material or something spiritual? It needs to be something spiritual. I would much rather, if Pastor Ted asked me, what can I do? I'll give you anything you want right now. I would say, I want you to lay hands on me and release to me the grace that's on your life. I want what you have. Would you release that to me? That's what I would want if he asked me. I'll give you anything you want right now. Why do you want that? Because that will produce greater than any material thing that they can give to me. Not only that, the spiritual thing will produce greater things, and it will also produce material things. It'll produce that. It'll start to, money will start flowing into my ministry if I ask for that. Why? Because I'll start to make moves. It'll produce even more. It'll produce even more. The material things will come, but I'm not concerned with the material. I'm concerned first and foremost with the spiritual. So Elisha, because he sat faithfully under Elijah, was able to receive a double portion of his spirit. And notice that he humbled himself and learned from him. Don't just be somebody that takes but doesn't humble themselves to learn from and honor. Many people just take. They, you know, hey, you know, I just want to give you a call. Can you please, you know, just give me some wisdom on this type of thing that, you know, you're doing. That's awesome that you're asking for wisdom and stuff. But people take and they don't know how to honor anymore. I've learned something. If somebody has impacted my life, I want to give to them. Because that is the natural way that I can show them honor. I want to show them honor in the way that I speak. I want to show them honor with my finances. Imagine if I got on here, Pastor Ted took time out of his week to invest into me, and I got on here and started bashing him or dishonoring him. Yeah, you know, Ted took me out the other day. What is that? Ted. He's a minister of the gospel. We've lost honor in the American church. In Africa, there's so much honor. There's so much honor. People are called by their spiritual titles that they have. Well, you know, titles don't matter, brother. At the end of the day, yes, they do, because God is the one that has established those positions. I used to be someone that thought that titles, that, you know, well, you know, a title's a title. I understand what people mean. If people don't operate in their biblical function of that title and they're not actually anointed to it, then it doesn't matter. But at the same time, the title does matter because it is something that God has instituted to that person if done properly. I'm not a pastor by the call of Pastor Frank. I'm not a pastor by my own will. I am a pastor of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, not an apostle of men, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. So yeah, it actually kind of does matter. So I'm not going to go and talk to people who are spiritual authorities in my life. Hey, Ted, it's good to see you, Ted. See Dr. Paul Aneche. Paul, how's it going? What is that? That's dishonoring God's offices, and that's not okay. Don't be someone that dishonors the offices that God has put in your life. I don't get it when people that are pastors of like a ministry, they walk up to people and they're like, hey, you know, I'm Joey. They're like, aren't you the pastor? Yeah, but like, you know, like we just, you know, we're not into titles around here. Like we just, you know, we're like, you know, I'm just Joey. I'm just a regular guy just like you and stuff. And there's truth to the fact that that you are a human being just like everybody else. But there's an honor and respect for the ministers of the gospel. The Bible says that ministers, that they're worthy of double honor. Double honor. There's an honor and respect. Honor spiritual leaders that are in your life. Respect them. Respect them. Speak to them with honor. Maybe they're just a youth leader that's in your youth group and they're not a minister. Still honor them. I'm not saying you got to call them, you know, pastor, because if they're not a pastor, don't call them that. But I'm saying show them honor. Speak to them with respect. If they start to talk, you stop talking. Teach them with respect and honor. Very important. Very important here. Because when you can't just be a leech that sucks off people's anointings. Just like, oh, like, you know, let me just take from their anointing. Let me just take from their anointing. Don't be a slimy person like that. Honor them. Honor them. Honor them. And when you sit under them and honor them, you'll receive an even greater portion than those leeches that just come to take what and take. You'll get an even greater portion of it. You'll get a greater portion of it. You will. Jesus said this, greater works you will do. The same works I do, you'll do. Greater works you will do. The same works he did will do, and greater works. Why? When you learn from Jesus, when his disciples learned from Jesus, they were able to do even more. Amen. Sit under an anointing. Sit under it. Learn from it. Taking everything you can from it. This is not just about the ministry either. You should have a spiritual father and spiritual mentors, or spiritual mother. If you're a girl, you have a spiritual mother as well in your life. Or even, you know, even if you're a guy, you may have a spiritual mother in your life as well. Now, that can get weird if you're not careful. I would encourage you that if you have a spiritual mother, that the spirit, that your spiritual father should be married to your spiritual mother, because that can get very strange. But I don't even remember what I was saying. I was saying you should have a spiritual father, a spiritual mentor, a spiritual mother, mentor in your life. Why? You should have that because you should be raised up by somebody in the spirit. The same way you need to be raised up by somebody in the natural, you should be raised up by somebody in the spirit. That's the way it works. It's the way it works. So have spiritual mentors, because it will help you go to different levels in the spirit. You know that you can go to a different level in the spirit, that your business can be blessed because of it, because you know more what's going on in the spirit. It's true. It's in the Bible. It'll happen. Amen. I hope this teaching blessed you and encouraged you. That's all that I got for you. I'm not even going to take an offering right now or anything like that. I hope that encouraged you. I got to go. I got some meetings to go to. So love you guys. I'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the Uncanceled Podcast. We hope you were blessed and encouraged by the teaching today. If you are between the grades of 5th through 12th grade, make sure to check us out in person at Faith Church in New Milford, Connecticut, every Wednesday night from 6:30 to 9 p.m. Be sure to tune in next week for another weekly podcast from Uncanceled. God bless.